The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
And welcome to Freedom Rings. I am your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Mike. How you doing?
Good morning. Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
Doing fine. I think I would like to get right to the no chatter today. Right to the stupid and or outrageous regulation of the week, which is only related tangentially to a regulation, actually. Actually, I want to address this issue of high gas prices and what to do about it. And you hear this talk about boycotting these guys, boycotting that guy. That's not going to do any good, you know. Unless people decide that they don't want to spend so much for gas, or they're going to have to curtail some of their activities that use gas, the demand's going to stay high. The problem is the supply. But the point of what I want to make this morning is that for every time you hear that oil companies or this or that have monopoly control over an industry and can raise prices as much as they want, anytime they want, and I keep on insisting, and I know I'm in the minority out there, that it's not true. It can't happen. Not in anything close to free market. And I know we don't have a free market, but we have a lot freer market than almost anywhere else in the world. And there still is market response, and that's really what I want to address, that anytime there might be even a perception that there's monopoly pricing going on, there are other alternatives available, always other alternatives available, whether it's different modes of transportation or finding a job closer to home, or there's always ways to react to given market conditions. And I've got a perfect example of a market response to perceived high gas prices. And again, first of all, I would like to say that the main reason the prices are high is because we have a supply problem. Because government regulations are such that it's very difficult to build refineries, to dig the crude oil out of the ground or out of the bay or whatever because of regulation. If that was freed up, the supply would meet the demand and the price would go down. That's number one. But even if you couldn't do that, there are other alternatives you can do. And here's really an interesting way of how markets respond. And it's something that I don't think a bureaucrat would ever think of. This is purely private. It's called this market reaction is called the first fuel banks. And there's an individual, a bunch of individuals, in this article I'm referring to. A truck driver bought 500 gallons of gas recently at the first fuel bank for $2 a gallon. Now, how did he do that? He purchased the future contract on gasoline. And this is not just for just truckers or commercial vehicles. This is for anyone on the road. If you wanted to, you could lock in a price ahead of time. When the price was at $2 a gallon, you pay up front, no interest, no other charges except for $1 to join the group. And you could lock it in, let's say if the price is at 99 cents a gallon, you lock it in at 99 cents a gallon. You pay ahead of time. And then when you need it, you go to the pump and you fill yourself up. First Fuel Banks, it's out of Minnesota. St. Cloud, Minnesota, City of St. Cloud, Minnesota fills their cars with at this company's gas station. This has been going on for a few years now. And what a great idea.
It's a great idea, exactly.
You know, it's just like, I know in mercantile exchange and the commodity markets, you know, you can purchase futures and farmers can hedge on prices and, you know, purchase futures and such. But to bring this down to the retail level is fantastic. What a great idea. And I would think this is an idea that should take hold. Now, isn't this, Mike, isn't this a real news story? Isn't this a real news story? You'd think the major media would pick up on something like
that. Yeah.
I haven't heard. Maybe they have, but I haven't heard.
This is the first I've ever heard of it.
I got this from my source on the Internet. It's a Libertarian News Digest. They comb throughout the country for these kind of stories, and they come up with great stories. And here, this is a great story.
A great story that concerns everybody.
Concerns absolutely everybody.
Yeah.
So next time the price comes down again, if you're worried that they're going to be jacking up the prices again, lock yourself in.
Hmm.
What a fantastic idea, huh, folks? And that's my point. And that's something that bureaucrats will never realize, or others who like to regulate our lives and think we need a command-control economy from the top down, some bureaucrats telling us what to do. This is a perfect example of how the free market operates, how the free market reacts to situations and alleviates problems. Done with no coercion, done with all voluntary action. That's the beauty of the market, folks. And none of us are smart enough to be able to anticipate these kind of ideas, these kind of innovations. And here's an innovation not in any material, any product. Here's an innovation in a manner of finance, in a manner of purchasing. What a great idea, and only the market comes up with something like that, folks. Mm-hmm. Only market. A lesson, I think, to be learned to all those who cry and whine and complain about those monopoly, blah, 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 oil companies. Nonsense. I'm Kenneth John. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. We will have a guest today. Her name is Loretta Null. She's the Libertarian Party's gubernatorial candidate in Alabama. And the reason, I know she's Alabama, not Illinois, but the reason we're talking about this is because she's got a ballot access situation going on. Alabama is just, they are even worse than Illinois. If you think of Alabama and how populous that state is, it's got to be. I mean, I'm not quite sure what the population is, but it's probably, you know, a fraction of Illinois. Now, in Illinois, we've got it really bad for a third party. You need to get 25,000 valid signatures to get on the ballot for the state races. In Alabama, you need somewhere around 46,000. Valid signatures. So she needs over 63,000 signatures, really, to get on the ballot. In Alabama, I would think that would be like getting, I don't know, 75,000, 100,000, maybe more in Illinois. So we're going to talk to her about her ballot access situation and her race in general. And, of course, the calls are always welcome at 847-931-1410. That's 931-1410. We'll be talking with Loretta Null after these messages.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, 1 block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service For both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruption, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, and I'd like to welcome to the show this morning Loretta Nall, gubernatorial candidate for the Libertarian Party in Alabama. Loretta, how are you doing?
I'm excellent. Good morning. How are y'all doing today?
We're doing just fine. Evidently, you've got a situation there in Alabama that's, and you should hear us whine in Illinois about ballot access.
It's horrible. It's
and it would be equivalent. Now, you have a population around 4.5 million or something like that.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And Illinois has got a population of about 12.7 million. Now, we have to get 25,000 signatures for our state candidates in Illinois, and we think it's horrible because it's still 5-10 times as many as the major candidates. But if I extrapolated that for you, that would be like getting about 130,000 signatures in Illinois, because you have to get, what, 46,000 ballot or something like that.
You know, the Secretary of State won't give you an exact number.
I know.
It's really hilarious how they run things here, and it's very frustrating. But the closest number we've been able to get to, you got to have this many, is 41,300. It would equal, I believe, 3% of the voters in the last election.
I see.
Is what it comes down to.
I see.
And then if you don't keep 20, if you manage to get ballot access here as a third party, and then you don't garner 20% of the vote in the elections, you lose ballot access.
20%?
20%.
Well, what, does that really happen with the major parties when they don't get? I'm sure there are candidates that don't get 20% of the vote.
Oh no, it doesn't happen to them. See, the thing is, you know, they've restricted politics to just them, and you know, that's really what's wrong with politics in the U.S. today. Is there's not room for competition, especially in states like Alabama. And if you don't have competition, then you get stagnant.
The checks and balances are gone in this country.
Exactly. This year in the Alabama state legislature, and I spent many a day down there watching them go. It's really it's an entertainment process more than anything else. But we had a tax bill that would have, you know, raised the median income from $4,600, because we had the lowest median income for a family of four to start paying taxes at $4,600 a year. And the only debate they had was how much to raise it between the Democrats and Republicans, which is really no debate at all.
Oh, that's a big surprise. I remember a gun advocate once saying, and I thought it was so true, if you want to lose your guns fast, vote Democrat. If you want to lose your guns just a little more slowly, vote Republican. If you want to retain your right to bear arms, vote Libertarian.
That's exactly right.
And it's true for every policy, public policy position you can think of. It's kind of sad. It's kind of funny. It's kind of sad. But it amazes me, Loretta, how any self-respecting Republican who considers himself a limited government Republican, how they could still stay in that party. I just don't get it.
Yeah, you know, the Republican Party's been hijacked. I don't think anybody's under the wool there that it's still the Republican Party. The neocons, of course, have hijacked it. There's a few good Republicans. You know, they're hard to find. There are still a few
Ron Paul of Texas.
Ron Paul, absolutely.
He's a libertarian.
Yeah, he's a libertarian masking, you know, as a Republican, so he can get into office. He's, you know, he's taking up the, you know, infiltrate the enemy and kind of take over. He's a true, you know, he'd be a true Republican if Republicans would act like Republicans.
Right.
But they don't. You know, all of their anti-social policies, you know, if they want to be fiscally conservative, which I am as well, I'm fiscally conservative, that's fine. But here in Alabama, you know, the Bible controls everything, and so we have a, you know, a population of, I guess, maybe they're called this all over the country, but Walmart Republicans who, you know, don't have really high levels of education, and they've had extremely difficult lives, and they're poor, and they vote Republican, which is about the worst thing they could do in a lot of ways, but they vote based on their emotions, on, you know, who seems to love Jesus more, or who hates homosexuals more. They vote emotion here. They don't vote, you know, for policies that are actually going to make Alabama a better place to live. And the Alabama Republican Party is, you know, they're responsible for, you know, for a lot of the situation there. And Democrats are too, but I don't see Democrats using the, you know, people's religious faith against them as much as I see the Republican Party doing it.
So are there any bills being proposed that would stone prostitutes or anything like that? I mean, you want to get into the Bible, there's all sorts of things we could get back to.
It wouldn't surprise me if they come up with a, you know, stone the Libertarian Party candidate after this fundraising, but I've got going on. But there's a gay marriage ban coming up this time on the June 6th primary, and that'll vote to whether it goes on the ballot for November 7th.
I confess just a non-issue so much. I mean, as a libertarian,
oh, really?
Government shouldn't have anything to do with marriage anyway.
No, absolutely not. I don't want them regulating who I can marry. The thing is, you know, the people here, Roy Moore, the Ten Commandments judge, is in the Republican primary. He's running against big time, but billion-dollar Bob Riley. And when he was, you know, Supreme Court Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, he wrote in a ruling that basically, if he could have his way, that he would have homosexuals executed if he could get a law passed to that degree. And that's just, you know,
it is scary. That he could be a Supreme Court judge and suggest something like that is really, I guess, not too surprising, but really scary.
It is scary, and it is kind of surprising to me, even in 2006, in the state of Alabama, that we still have that harsh of a mindset against, you know, something that's different from our own lifestyle choices.
Right.
But we do. He's not going to win the Republican primary, so we're not too worried about Roy. Although I did hope in the beginning that it would be me, Roy Moore, and Don Siegelman facing off on November 7th. It would have been great because, you know, we're all three convicted of some sort of crime or another. Roy violating everyone's First Amendment right, and Don Siegelman is in federal court right now for racketeering and contract bid rigging. And I just got convicted for, you know, for speaking out saying that marijuana laws should be changed.
Whoa. You got convicted for speaking out?
Well,
you got to tell us the story.
Okay. My whole entry into politics goes a little like this. I was an Alabama housewife. I was, you know, in between jobs. I was staying home with the kids at the time. My husband was working.
Sitting on the couch and eating bonbons watching Oprah?
No, I was on the computer doing stuff like that. I'm not an Oprah and bonbons kind of girl.
I didn't think so. I was just kidding you.
But I've always kind of been interested in pot. I've been smoking it for years, and it's no big secret. Or it's not anymore. It used to be. But I've never grown any, and I've never, you know, been in trouble with the law. I've always been just kind of real quiet. And one day in September of 2002, I heard a helicopter coming. I live in rural Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And you know when they're flying choppers in September, they're looking for weed, if you smoke weed. Or even if you don't, lots of people don't smoke it, still know what they're looking for. So, you know, I figured they'd be gone in a couple of minutes. You know, we go through it every year. And after, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, it was still out there. And then after about an hour, it was still circling my home. And I got kind of hot about it. And I went out with my video camera and started taping it. And taped for about 5 minutes, and I came back in, took the camera down, and at the time I had this really neat douche. His name was Rowdy, and they're the best watchdogs on earth. He had a really distinctive honk, you know, when somebody comes up in the yard, so he started honking. I look out the window, and there's four black Dodge dually pickup trucks with tinted windows, dual cabs. Two of them had ATV trailers on the back loaded, and I've only got 2 acres of property. And there's men everywhere. You know, none of them have law enforcement insignia, so I go charging out the door. You know, basically, what the hell do you want? Who are you? Why are you here? And they're, you know, flashed a badge, and he said, you know, we're with Alex City Undercover, and we think our pilot saw some marijuana growing on your property. We have a look around. I said, well, I think you need to buy him some glasses before you make another mistake as college resistance is going to be. I need to see a warrant. He said, we don't have one. I said, well, I'm going to go get my video camera and film you conducting a warrantless search because you're already all over the property. And they had, like, little ion sniffers, black boxes with a red a light at the end of a wire that they were kind of sniffing the air with, which is something that I hadn't seen before. And came back in to get the video camera, ran outside, and they were, you know, all piled up back in their trucks and trying to get out of my driveway as fast as they could. Now, all this is on the Internet, the original video. And so then I decided, well, that's nonsense. You know, if they don't have a warrant and I'm not growing weed, and how dare them send people on my
property? It's outrageous, you know? But that's America today.
Oh,
they care less about the law.
Okay.
How do they expect the citizens to follow the law, obey the law, which you can't help but violating every hour of the day, but right. when they don't even follow the law themselves?
Exactly. So they left. There was no pot found and wouldn't have been even if they had searched. So I ran them away. I decided, I'm going to write a letter to the editor of the Birmingham News and just calling for, you know, people who smoke pot and people who think the law should be changed to reflect, you know, society's values. You know, we got all these people in a huge prison crisis in Alabama being driven by the drug war, so you need to come out and vote to change these laws. And that was the gist of my letter. And 6 days after that letter was published in the Birmingham News, which was incidentally was 2 days after the last gubernatorial election in 2002, I came home from town running errands with my husband, and I had 5 police cars in my yard up and down the driveway. They were already inside my home.
Wow.
Came in when no one was here. Had a warrant based on my letter to the editor of the Birmingham News.
God, that's
and an
so
alleged
outrageous.
Statement by my 5-year-old daughter to the DARE cop at her school. She just suddenly, out of the blue, runs up to him and says, "My mommy has green leafy illegal plants hanging from the ceiling of our home, and I saw her throwing them out the back door this morning." It's all in the court papers. You can read the whole thing online.
Whoa.
Absolutely outrageous. So a judge signed the warrant. They claim they found 87 hundredths of a gram of 1 gram of pot. In an envelope addressed to me, lying on top of my printer. So they arrested me, took me to jail, charged me with possession, charged me with possession of paraphernalia. I had a side candle making business at the time, and I had scales that were used to weigh out certain ingredients that you put in candles.
That's paraernalia. That you were dealing.
They dug it off of my workbench. It's covered in wax and scent, you know, dye, all kinds of neat stuff that goes into candle making, and used it in court to convict me. The DA in the case even stood up at the end of the court and said the only things these scales are used for is drug dealing. And the judge let him get away with it.
Did you have a jury trial?
No, you get a bench. In Alabama, if you haven't committed like a high-end felony with your first go-round, you go to district court, you get a bench trial. If you get convicted, then you can get to request a jury trial. But you don't get one right away, no.
That's a violation of that's another constitutional violation.
Oh, absolutely.
Did you appeal?
The very day that, you know, the conviction was handed down, I appealed the sentences, and this was in 2004 when I was convicted. And so we appealed it that day, and I've been back to court, I don't know, 10 or 15 times since then. Something always happens where they don't get to me, and they have to postpone it.
Well, I've been through that. I've been fighting the seatbelt law for almost 4 years now.
Oh, good for you. That's another one I'm taking on. The anti-smoking Nazis that have suddenly descended on the U.S. Oh.
Yes. It's, Loretta, I don't know. It's getting so bad. But what's sad is that the average American citizen doesn't seem, I don't know, they don't seem to care, or they don't have time to care, or what do you think? Or do you?
That most people that I run into, and this is also true in my own case, is until it hits you directly, you really don't care.
Right.
It's not on your radar. You know, yeah, it's wrong to lock people up for smoking, you know, a natural plant. But, you know what, they shouldn't be breaking the law. Or, you know, they'll find some way to justify not doing anything. But if I stand up, I'll go to jail. And until it's them, it's like the Neymar quote, you know, they came for the Jews, and I didn't say anything because I wasn't a Jew. Or, you know, the whatever, the communists, the pot smokers. And it's the same thing today. You don't really understand the magnitude of what the drug war has done to this country until they kick in your door. And then you realize you don't have freedom of speech anymore, and this is not a free country anymore. And, you know, you, in the eyes of the federal government, just simply because you admit fully to smoking pot, you know, you're no better than a terrorist. In fact, they think you help fund them, which is just asinine.
That's the reverse logic of if I've ever heard one.
Isn't that crazy?
We're talking with Loretta Null, gubernatorial candidate for the state of Alabama for the Libertarian Party. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. That's 931-1410. Give us a call. If you have any questions, comments, observations, we will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders. Good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones. Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We've just placed 19 out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected Bill Clinton as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public school.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need email or internet setup and training? Call John. Want to simply learn to do things faster? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want a new computer system set up? Call John. Need fast, convenient repairs? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
And you may
We are back with Loretta Nall. Loretta, what's your website?
I have a couple. The main one right now is the campaign site. It's nallforgovernor.com, N-A-L-L-F-O-R, governor.com. And from there, you can navigate to my blog. I keep a blog where I to participate with my supporters and detractors as well occasionally, where I try to interact with, you know, with people that are interested in what we're doing here. And then, you know, there's the U.S. Marijuana Party site. After I, you know, got involved in all of this, after the cops kicked in the door, basically, I started a national political party trying to get people. I got people in 35, I had 35 states at one time that had active people seeking office or forming, you know, the marijuana party just to address it from an angle of politics where we could form into a voting block and people could actually see the numbers that that really exist for changing these laws instead of, you know, looking at the government studies or listening to the ONDCP or the Republicans for that matter. And I started the first one here in Alabama, and then it just kind of spread. And Illinois, actually, one of my most active and best people, Richard Rollins, is in Peoria, Illinois, and he's in charge of the Illinois Marijuana Party, and Showtime is actually coming this summer to Peoria to film him. And to film The Individuals, which is a hip-hop music group, and somebody else, Uncle something or other, but I can't call the name right now. So Rich's doing really good things. Y'all should check him out. He's the head of the U.S. Marijuana Party, and he's acting president while I'm running for the election here in Alabama. And he does just excellent work.
All right, very good. Let's go to the phone. We have John. Hello, John.
Hello, Ken and Loretta.
Good morning,
Ken.
John.
A philosophy question, which has nothing to do with marijuana. I hope that's not the topic of the day. But my question is off something that Ken said in passing, and I want to agree with you on this, Ken. You said that government should have absolutely no role in marriage, right?
Right.
Now, I agree that a happy marriage does not need the government, but what keeps me from agreeing with you is what do you do if you have an unhappy marriage? If a couple has been married for, say, 10 years and they've now got kids and they got possessions, and how do you determine?
Are you asking Loretta or are you asking me?
Either, whoever wants to answer this.
Contracts.
Contracts, one word.
Loretta, you want to answer that?
Yeah, prenups is one. Another thing is, the government is separate from the court system. I mean, it's kind
right.
of the same.
Right.
I mean, you want a divorce, you go through the courts. I mean, it's not like you go and ask the legislature to pass this law. So it's a little, it's not necessarily, when you go to a lawyer, that's not really getting the government involved. It's, paying a private attorney to file the paperwork. We don't need government, in marriage, in any sense of anything.
I mean, that's a licensing regulatory issue that I'm saying is wrong. We're not opposed as libertarians to a common law court system to right wrongs.
Right.
Okay, so maybe we actually are in more agreement. Because you can't really solve issues like that without some form of a contract.
I agree.
But I suppose as far as government, asking you how many, if you're married or how many kids you have to determine what kind of taxes you get or zoning and stuff like that, then I'm all for government keeping their nose out of that.
I'm with you there. A lot of people don't even know that marriage license and certificates were not even required, or not required in the Constitution, and they were only implemented after the end of slavery to prevent interracial marriage.
Racist basis of it.
Absolutely. And like I say, I don't want the government defining sex for me. I don't want them defining marriage for me or love or medicine. We'll leave that to us to figure out. I think we've got that much common sense.
I mean, as a devout Catholic, and I'm not married, but if I ever do get married, I would value the decision of the church over the government.
Oh, there you go.
The marriage certificate will go in a safety deposit box somewhere, but I view marriage as a contract with God and not with the government.
Amen.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, John, for your call. Well, we have, boy, it's been a while, Wendell. How you doing?
I'm fine. Been traveling.
Oh, good for you.
Weather's nice back up here, so came back up from Florida.
Well, welcome back.
Well, it's an interesting program right off the bat. Are you dopehead libertarians thinking that you should have ballot access with the grand old party? And it's ridiculous because the fact of the matter is the founding fathers created a two-party system in this country where it's only me, and the Republicans are the best of that. And all your complaints about the way things are going is simply to protect our freedoms. And we're just absolutely off the wrong end on this, on marriage, even though that the government has to regulate certain things for the sake of the children. And this is just, you people are just always off on the deep end of things, and it's ridiculous. The Republican Party is the best party, and if you can't make it in the Republican Party, then you have no business playing around in politics.
All right, let Loretta respond. First, Loretta, I have to assure you that Wendell is not a shill.
He's for real?
Yeah, this is not a
George Bush should have hired him to replace Andy Card. He's just as much of a propagandist.
Anything else you'd like to respond to?
Well, I just
I was asking
you're
Loretta.
Not in jail. Obviously, you're not in jail for the seatbelt thing, and it must be because you must have pulled some kind of shenanigans for that, because you You got to follow the law. You got to follow the rules.
Do the government officials have to follow the law and the rules too, Wendell?
If we don't have laws and rules, you all these dope smokers would be spreading seeds all over the place.
God forbid some plant grows.
Dead plants are not good for people. But other than that, if you win or lose your case,
Wendell.
You win or lose your case.
Yes?
It's on appeal, Wendell, but this show's about Loretta.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't think you've got a snowball chance.
I'm sorry. I missed that. Loretta, you have anything else you'd like to respond to, Wendell?
Wendell should apply at Comedy Central. He's quite a comedian.
I agree. I would have no show if it wasn't for Wendell.
All right, well, goodbye. I'll call again some other.
Well, wonderful. I appreciate it. Yeah, you're the best. Wendell. Welcome back, Wendell. Oh, that was good. That was a good one. Well, Wendell, just so you know, Loretta, in the past, Wendell has said that Hitler was a good man gone bad.
We got a few of those down here. We got some Wendells in Alabama. A lot of them.
Oh, boy. Well, maybe you have even more than your share than we do.
They've had, in the last couple of weeks, I've attended some pro-immigration reform rallies. Of course, I'm for naturalizing the ones that are inside Alabama. I mean, all of them that I see work really hard to take care of their families, and they're good people. I've yet to see a Mexican in Alabama with a food stamp card at Walmart. I just haven't seen that. But we've had all of these anti-immigration rallies, which is, the Southern League and the Klan in Russellville, and then, they did it again in Montgomery. And the politics of hate, I just really, we really got to stop that in this country. And, Alabama's a real tough place to take on the politics of hate, because that's what rules here. And so I'm so opposite the Republicans and Democrats, that I'm facing down here, that it's going to be quite an election season, whether I get ballot access or not. Even if I don't get ballot access, I'm going to continue to run and campaign and, just be a thorn in their side the whole way through.
How close are you to getting ballot access?
We've got about 12,000 signatures right now. We launched a major ballot access drive last week, which this is kind of a funny story. Two Alabama columnists, one was a newspaper editor and one was he's a curmudgeon, Andy Rooney of Alabama politics. His name is Bob Ingram. He's been writing about politics here for 55 years. So I get a Google alert in my email one day on my name, and I go to look at the story, and it's a second part of a column that he'd written where he was thanking the editor of a newspaper for supplying a photo of me to run with his column last week. And he said he was sure his readers enjoyed it, but it was a first for him in 55 years of writing in Alabama. He had never had a woman display cleavage in his column, and I about fell out. I said, I know there aren't two dirty old men in the Alabama media talking about my anatomy. And I went to the website, looked up what was going on. I went down to the newspaper place in Montgomery, and I picked up a copy. And what they had done was, instead of calling me and asking me for an official campaign photo, they went on the internet, typed in my name to Google, and out of 200 some pictures, they picked the only one where I have on something of a low cut shirt. And a few years back, it had nothing to do with the campaign. That he ran the picture. He said, he hoped his mother didn't see that picture, and he knew for a fact where she ended up in the afterlife because she wouldn't have approved. And so, once I saw what the picture was and what they did, I fired off a letter to the editor, and I told him, a lot of things. But, the main lines that really started this fundraising drive were, if nothing else, you secured me the horny guy vote that exists among your readers. And now that even the rest of Alabama has been introduced to the twins, perhaps you'd like to meet the rest of me. I'll die on purpose so y'all won't be offended. And we talked about the rest of the planks of my platform. So the editor prints the letter in his paper, and he also ties on at the end, I only ran it because I thought it was a good looking, and I like pretty women. Please bring me some yard signs. So I went over to the editor, and then one of the people that's working on my campaign said, hey, why don't we just, really hit on the blogosphere all over the U.S. It's all over blogs and websites, and done tons of radio shows about it. So last week we got somebody to do a flash animation, which is for $2. Have you guys seen that?
I didn't pay the $2 yet, but I saw your...
The $2 is you tuck it in my cleavage, and then for $20 you can tuck it in my waistline, and for $50 I'll take the biggest boobs in Alabama politics. And it's working out pretty well. We're doing fairly decent with the fundraising. We've got a lot more to do. It's going to take, massive amounts of money. We have until June the 6th to come up with signatures for ballot access. So any libertarians out there listening today, go to NALL for Governor, NALLFORGovernor.com. Look at our ballot access page. If you can throw us a few bucks to help get on the ballot here in Alabama, we'd be really, really grateful to you.
All right, very good. All right, let's go back to the phones. We have John. Hi, John.
Hi. Loretta, I was a little bit hesitant to put out the $50 because the Alabama legislature website has pictures of all the boobs in it.
it was hard to pick four, you know, because there are quite a number here. But it's something. I hope you did. I don't know if you gave $50 or not, but if you did, thank you.
Anything else, John?
Yeah, about the helicopters. The helicopters out there to find wild marijuana as well.
99% of everything they eradicate in the U.S. every year is feral, wild hemp. It's not actually even pot. I don't think they were out here looking for feral. I mean, you know, they come every year. I've got, like I said, 2 acres. If they had found feral, they still would have charged me with it if it had been on my property.
That's interesting. I know the Illinois State Police surveys and goes after feral and burns fields of it.
You have quite a lot of it up there, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, during World War II, hemp was grown because we were cut off from sisal and abaca from the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
And hemp was used to make rope, which they needed for everything.
In every war that the U.S. has ever had, with the exclusion of the Iraq war here, and maybe not the
war. Well, that's a police action anyway, Loretta. Let's get it straight here. It's not a war.
Exactly. That's exactly right. You know, we lifted the ban on hemp in order to be able to supply ropes for ships and things like that. And in the 1684 rings a bell, but the Jamestown colonies were, you know, government mandated that you had to grow at least, you know, 1 acre of your fields in hemp. It used to be that you had to grow it, which is kind of strange looking at how that's, you know, been juxtaposed over what we have now, which is that you go to jail for growing it.
I was wondering if you knew any of the facts about the Alabama eradication program, because I know in Illinois, our state government spends, the last figure I saw was about 5 years ago, they spent $150,000 a year in manpower and resources to burn fields of marijuana.
I haven't seen any statistics here. I know that here the marijuana eradication team is actually National Guard soldiers. And the people that fly the helicopters are National Guard troops. They are kind of skimpy on the numbers. They don't want to, I don't know if it's hidden. It's been hidden to me. I haven't been able to find how much, you know, like after they did the hour raid on me, and this was, you know, right after, you know, the Iraq invasion, you know, we had all this stuff going on, you know, overseas, and they had just chased some, you know, poor bastard from Georgia to Florida with a helicopter because he got overheard saying something somebody thought he shouldn't have said at a restaurant. And this was like the next day. And I wanted to know, how much does it cost to fly the helicopter for an hour? How much did it cost for fuel? How much does it cost to, you know, house it for a year, maintenance? You know, how much does it cost to pay these guys out here? I wanted numbers because I was really fixing to hit hard. And I got stonewalled. They tell me that's not public information is what the police department here told me. I beg to differ, and my lawyer did too, so... But we never got, you know, actual numbers on what Alabama spends.
Probably
have
to file a Freedom of Information Act request.
Oh, you know what? I did that. I did it with the federal government, with the FBI and the DEA and U.S. Customs and Immigration.
Was it national security? They can't give that out or something? Or?
Well, they told me that we don't have anything on you, and I've had the FBI at my back door. And every time I go through customs into or out of Canada, and also when I came back from Colombia, South America last year or in 2004, I mean, they know who I am. Trust me, they do. And they send me something back saying, never heard of you. And I'm thinking, you know what? This is absolutely insane. Not we're not giving it to you, but you don't exist. I wish that were the case, but I can assure you it's not.
Also, I wanted to ask you about what was going on with that that traffic stop that was you just had recently.
It's all right with
it. Hands off because you're running for governor or something.
They did. They left me alone. I was really surprised by that. Very grateful too, I might add. That's the first time.
You're a fighter. They don't like fighters.
they didn't, you know, I figure it was just because they did not want the headache. I mean, in the last 40
right.
years, if I've done anything, I've alerted the Alabama law enforcement agencies and the judges and, you know, the entire legislative body and even all the way up to the governor. I ain't taking this shit. You can throw it at me, and you can come at me, you know, but when you came and you tried to take my kids, then it was war. And it's going to be war until I win, or they kill me, one way or the other.
All right, let's move on. Thanks for your call, John. We'll be back after a few messages.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Ring to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Ring. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
All right.
right, we're back with Freedom Rings Talk with Loretta Null. Loretta, you've just joined a very exclusive club, the Excrement Club. 9 years doing the show, you've joined me and the president of the Heartland Institute.
Yeah, but it's once or twice.
And my friend Kathleen, you're number four. Congratulations.
That's a very high honor to hold.
All right, very quickly, let's talk to Tim.
Okay.
Tim, here we go. Hi, Tim.
Hey there.
Hi, Tim.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Good, I want to join the Excrement Club.
No.
Poo-poo caca?
Okay.
Okay.
Quickly.
Real quick. All right. Loretta, I don't know if you've thought about doing this or not. You should file a Title 42, Section 1983 federal case. Forget the state courts. They're all corrupt. Federal courts are corrupt, too, but you might have a little bit better shot. Secondly, marriage is a contract. Look at any annotated state statutes. The annotations will talk about how marriage is a civil contract between the husband, the wife, and the state. Third is Wendell ripped off my idea about Johnny Marijuana Seed spreading things around. You know, if they need jobs and job creation, let's give it to them. Let's plant it on public property or city or state property as far as, you know, the governmental offices. You know, if everybody were to just grab a handful of seeds and spread them everywhere, once a week, anywhere they could, you know, what are they going to do? It's going to all be growing. Need a Johnny Apple or, you know, like Johnny Appleseed, need a Johnny Marijuana Seed type of program.
That's exactly right.
Tim, thanks for your call.
No problem, buddy. Bye-bye.
Loretta, one more time, your website.
Website is www.nall4governor.com. Y'all check it out. Get us some money down here. If you're listening in Illinois, support the Illinois Libertarian Party. If you're listening anywhere else in the U.S., support your local Libertarian chapter.
Thank you very much for being on the program today. We appreciate
it. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. From Joseph Pulitzer, a Republican and its press will rise or fall together. An able, disinterested, public-spirited press with trained intelligence to know the right and courage to do it can preserve the public virtue without popular government. Without a public government is a sham and a mockery. A cynical, mercenary, demagogic press will produce in time a people as faithful as itself.